You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher DeSimone and yourselves. Barney's going to come by later and join me for some radio excellence. Tomorrow we got Schweikert, Ed Ackerley talking about the fight against the fight for 15. I got an update on that from one of the, I think it's KVOA. We'll talk about that. I'm going to have my reflections of Lee, my discussion with Lee Lambert yesterday. There's two things I want to talk about out of there. We're going to talk about this inflation thing, which is like a real thing, and talking about the cost of stuff, I was talking about this fight against the fight for 15 and talking about how there's going to be a $15 value meal one day at McDonald's, and then someone gave me a reality check of how much a Big Mac, a fries, and a Coke costs at McDonald's. Wait till I give you that number. So we got to do that today. Doug Ducey and universities. I kind of gave you a little bit of a preview of this yesterday that it was kind of heading. I didn't know it was going to go this quick, but we'll talk about that. A group of parents sent their kids' face masks to a lab for analysis, and here's what the lab found. We'll do that. Sad to say, Tucson's homicide rate keeps moving and grooving. It's really getting scary out there. So we got to talk about that. What else do we got today? Remote learning for kids. We'll talk about that. We got to talk about, I got to get this on my notes here. The Arizona Daily Star's op-ed page. And their We Hate the RTA run of columns. But there's one they won't even respond to a group that has a concerns in relation to, they won't even print it. So when they talk about how important the op-ed page and these differing opinions, they're liars. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. That was rough. They're liars. Because they're the most disingenuous people you ever saw when it comes to this. We got to play this local Fox reporter out of Texas who did the secret recordings and then sent it to the Project Veritas guys and girls about what her news director was telling her on what she shouldn't cover in relation to being censored. So we'll talk about that before it's all over. And then, I love this one. I actually thanked this lady from, I don't know if it's a lady or is it a guy or girl? I think it's a girl, maybe a guy. Anyway, maybe it's a guy, Maxwell. I have a friend who's named Maxwell. Maxwell Hartgreaves. So Ray and I get zillions of press releases during the day. It's just the nature of what we do. Okay. So Maxwell Hartgreaves is the PR for the Arizona Department of PIO for the Arizona Department of Gaming. I don't know if this name even sounds familiar if you're on their list or not, but I get this. Lately, Maxwell's been active. Maybe someone made Max get out of his house for work and is standing over and going, "Hey, could you do your job?" Okay. So, hi, ADG, Arizona Department of Gaming, is on track to meet the targeted go-live date for September 9th for event wagering in the state. Now, why September 9th? You say, that's just a weird date. Well, it's easy. It's because that's the first day of NFL football. Thank you. That's because part of the thing is the Cardinals have a license to go to do gambling now. You can do gambling on your phone in the stadium now.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to get crazy. Like, do you think, how much do you want to bet that the kick returner gets the ball past the 50-yard line? I don't know if it's going to get that ridiculous, but it could. Okay.
That'd be a new world.
That would be insane, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna bet $100 that the kick return is gonna get past the 50. But so it says, that said, the department's finalizing details. I am sorry for the inconvenience, and please reach out if you have questions. Right? Because we're still working out the details. So I said, hey, Maxwell, can we have an ADG executive come on and inform our listeners on the new world of wagering of AZ, right, in Arizona? I mean, I understand they're working on the rules, but what did the legislation pass? The person who's getting paid to implement the legislation, could you tell us about it, right? Chris, unfortunately, we are unavailable to do an interview at this time. The entire department. I would recommend checking back once we've done the draft rules and we're further along in the process, which could happen later this summer. I hope this helps. Thanks, Max. I said an entire department unavailable for an interview? ? That is weak sauce, is what I said back. I said, I'll have to talk to a few people at the governor's office and see if I can find an adult to talk about wagering. I said, peace and love, Chris. And then in PS, I said, thanks for giving me material for a mini segment for the radio tomorrow. And of course, Maxwell. So look, Maxwell, if you're the PIO and I'm paying your damn salary, we're paying your damn salary, and you put out a press release about wagering, and I asked for someone in the department to come on to talk about wagering, what do you say? I can get blah, blah, blah to you in the next 2 weeks. But no, we get literally, Chris, think about this. This is classic bureaucrat jackassery, right? The entire department is unavailable for an interview. Then at the last sentence, I hope this helps. That's amazing. This is like something from The Office, right? You can't make this up. We have no one in the department available for an interview. I hope this helps.
But if you could write the story up about the press release we just sent you, that'd be great.
Right. Correct. I wonder who Maxwell knows to get that job. So it reminded me of, let's go back into the, we have to have like a sound effect of that old creaking door, you know, let's go into the Wake Up Tucson archives, because this damn show's been around for 12 years. Let's go to Joe Snell, the overpaid $1 million man. Okay. So, when Joe and I first started the show, we're two guys doing politics based on how it affects business and things like that. And here's Joe Snell. He just gets into the job about a year before, probably. Joe Higgins was on the Trio Small Business Commission. Okay. Joe was named the Chamber Small Business Person Being of the Year and all this jazz. Just before that, right? And Joe Snell didn't want to answer real questions about what he does. So he literally sends back, hi, Joe and Chris. I can see if I can still find it. It'd be hilarious. I am going to be so busy with economic development stuff for Tucson, right, that I won't be able to talk to you guys until like maybe 6 to 8 months from now. So, of course, we had a field day with that. So then we said, hey, girls, let's say you're a single gal. You're at the bar, right? Some drunk frat guy comes on to you and says, hey, baby, what about me and you making beautiful music together? Or whatever that's the best bad pickup line I can come up with, right? And we would say, we'll give you a Wake Up Tucson pre-printed card of the Joe Snell excuse, right? So it says, the drunk guy, hey, baby, let's go make beautiful music together. You go, excuse me, I am so busy with economic development activities for Tucson and Pima County that I will not be able to, quote, make beautiful music with you for at least another 6 to 8 months. So thank you. Right? That vibe is exactly what I got from useless Maxwell Hartgraves at the Arizona Department of Gaming. That was like, you know, when you have all in a movie or a cartoon, they always talk about when you hit the bureaucrat at the DMV, or there's that movie Zootopia with the sloth, right? With the bureaucrat guy. That's like City Tucson Development Services guy, right? That's Maxwell Hartgraves. No one's available to talk to you, even though I'm the PIO is not available to talk to me. It's so good. It's so good once it hits the lips. When we come back, I want to talk about, let's do my reflections of Lee yesterday. Lots of reactions off my Lee Lambert interview yesterday. So 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news talk.
So Chris.
Yes. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. The computer is broken.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on here, but apparently the spots can't play. So I'm going to have to fix this.
This is going to be one of those, either Chris is going to have to do 3 hours of radio with no breaks.
We've right? done that before, right?
Or I'm leaving.
No. I'll fix it before then, I promise.
I got a chili Colorado with two eggs on top waiting for me at El Merendero. If this keeps going. So to help out the computer system here, well, thank you to our great sponsors that played during the break. That was great. I'm just, you know, being actually, I got to send back Maxwell Hartgreaves. I'm going to say, if you want to check out your name being said 8 times on a radio show, I guess maybe Maxwell will say, I guess any PR is good PR, I guess, being a PIO expert. So Lee Lambert yesterday. So let's get the lead. We do have an interview at the bottom of the hour if the computer doesn't, you know, blow them up. But so Lee, first of all, it's interesting that he came on. Okay. Now, Lee asked to come on, and he can come on anytime. Remember, the only people who aren't allowed to come on are Huckleberry and Paul Cunningham. Everyone else is invited to come on. I'm okay with that. I can run with all of you. Let's do it. Let's have that conversation. But Lee wanted to come on because someone told him that I was talking about his gigs outside of Tucson. I assume no one else was doing that. Well, I guess, no, the Arizona Daily Star, I got to give those foolish people credit. They did cover him being a finalist at San Diego's Community College. But then a couple of friends of mine saw the thing about that Evergreen College that he's an alum at is a mess. And so the idea that his name came up as a finalist for that Evergreen College also came on my radar. So they asked to come on to, quote, set the record straight. So I get some email from Libby Howell, another PIO, or she's community relations over at Pima. And they want to come on, and I said, "Well, why does he care?" I said, "We're a humble little radio show with a small, tiny little audience. Why would Big Lee Lambert care about coming on our show?" But they wanted to come on, so good. So a couple of things. I don't know if he actually knew what I said, right? I think he thought when I said he's looking for other jobs, somehow I was banging on him. I'm like, you go, Lee. That's why I asked him, how long you been here? Oh, 8 years. Well, that's enough. His board is crazy. He doesn't have a cool board. This is not a cool board to work with. And then you have the county as a, think about it, you have a county as the part, the county as a, that's a mess. Working with Rex Scott, Huckleberry, Bronson, Matt Hines, and Adelita Grijalva? Ooh, that's not fun, right? You got J-Ted on your side. That's good. And then the business, he was kind of like, you know, he had to shill for his business community buddies, right? Because I said, you know, all these guys and girls in the business community keep saying about workforce development, but they don't really do anything. But he had to go out of his way to, oh, they've been very supportive of me. Well, of course they're going to be supportive of you. I'm telling you that construction executive who talked about they need a heavy equipment operator thing. That's real. That crap is real. This is a guy who's worked construction in the construction business for years. He knows. And that's something that I think Pima's slow rolling towards. See, that sounds bad for a guy doing construction equipment. They're slow rolling it. Now, Ray, I just want to know, are we going to play the commercials that we missed bumping into the bottom of the hour?
No, we're going to just go with our break late. If that's
okay,
cool.
That's fine. Yep. All right. I just,
yep, we're good.
Just want to make sure. Now, the other thing about Lee that was cute was when I said, hey, does anyone over there regret all the damage that was done by you guys literally keeping people at their houses and not having to go to school? And he gave me, oh, it's very nuanced. Like I'm some sort of dumbass. Okay. Now, what Lee doesn't realize, because I assume Lee, when he's listening to talk radio, is probably listening to NPR. Okay. He's way more highbrow than this cruddy radio show. Okay. That was the perfect example of what I was saying on, we'll never get a real post-COVID analysis of what happened. So here's Lee, right? He's making his problem. I bet Lee's got to be pulling in 200, 250, right? And does that mean like in the next minute or two? Why? Oh, we are going to do that. Got it now. I'm there. Let me finish this thought. So what will happen is that, so Lee gives me the nuance thing, right? So if Lee was really going to be honest about this, instead of giving me the nuanced line, what he should have been saying is, man, we're looking at the back of this a little bit, and we're looking at the suicide rates, the depression, all of these things, right? And the thing about it, right? So he said that they had a higher than even the country average of people who dropped out of community college. Well, there's effects to all that, right? And I know I'm not asking Lee to do like a mea culpa, throw himself on the mercy of the court. But when he deflects me with, oh, it's nuanced. And of course, there's cost to our decisions. You know something? You got to have a little, that doesn't cut the mustard. And you'll never get an elected because they'll say, oh, that'll be used against me when I got to come back. Again, the lack of honesty here is the part that's just that's something to say you lied. It's the idea that bad things happen. We got to be real about the bad things that happen with these decisions. So, Christy Simone, you, Ray's on the other side pressing buttons. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Bad news, it's not fixed.
Yeah, baby. I'll be at Med and Detto. Eating my chili Colorado very, very soon. Jesse Lugo, Lee Lambert at Pima is $250 a year for a three-year contract. Thank you, sir. We have a dude on the Republican side running, not the dude. Hey, bro. Matt Salmon who's ran for governor before. Against Janet Napolitano, I believe. I'm sure all of you could, correct me if I'm wrong. He launched his campaign early this morning on a video. We can't allow these liberal politicians to turn Arizona into California. We must protect the values. I believe in strong borders and an Arizona first. Yes, he ran 202, that's right, against Napolitano, where he lost. That's the one that probably Pima County put Janet over the top on that one. Salmon's the sixth candidate to declare, fourth Republican, where we have Arizona Treasurer, former news anchor Kerry Lake, and Karen Taylor Robeson of the Arizona Board of Regents. I'd like to know if the Board of Regents was okay. We'll get to that with the ASU decision to on all their... what they were going to do unvaccinated kids going to college, because that'd be kind of interesting with her run for governor. So We have some humans and some other humans coming up. We have, it's one of these cool groups. Hold on, I'm going to get this here. Hold on, retroactive taxes. Here we go. The Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. I believe it's Karen Kerrigan. And they're going to be coming up talking about, this is in Congress right now, the so-called Sensible Taxation and Equity Promotion Act. This is like probably going to be like kind of saying a horror movie, as we like to say. So when we come back, we got the crew from the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council coming up to talk about this act in moving through Congress. It's kind of the wealth tax thing. We'll get an update and see what's going on with that. So Christy Simone, Ray Allen, flying without a radar. We almost don't even have wings anymore right now. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. And we're happy to have, probably calling in from somewhere in the swamp-like area of D.C., maybe, is Karen Kerrigan of the SBEC, Small Business Entrepreneurship Council, President, CEO, a lot of really cool titles. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Live from the swamp, you are correct.
I apologize.
That's all right.
So for newbies who don't know what an SBEC is, give us what you do and why you do it.
You bet. So the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, SBE Council, we're a advocacy, research, and education organization. We're dedicated to protecting small business, promoting entrepreneurship, focus on really the range of policies that impact startup activity and, you know, the growth of our small business sector. So, you know, we have a couple hundred thousand members throughout the country. We obviously love small business. It's critical to competition, vibrancy, the growth, job creation, innovation, all those things that make America great. So that's why we do what we do, and there's a lot going on right now, Chris.
Well, let me introduce you to Tucson, Arizona. We're 43 minutes north of the Mexican border, about an hour and 20 minutes south of Phoenix, and we are a liberal petri dish that is one of the worst places for small business, possibly in north of the equator.
Yeah, well,
so
and probably the ecosystem represents that, and you probably have some just pretty hardy small business owners there and entrepreneurs who grind it out.
They amaze me every day, Karen.
Yes, despite it all.
They do. It's horrible to open a business, to expand a business. We have the lowest police staffing in the city of Tucson since 1988, so businesses are just getting poached. Beer skips where people just walk out. It's like, did you see the thing in San Francisco with the guy filling his garbage bag up at the Walgreens?
Yeah.
That's kind of like us. That's a little heavier than us, but we're heading there. So.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully Tucson, you know, will wake up the politicians and they'll be, you know, they'll realize that this really small business is the golden goose, you know, and you need these businesses in order to fund government, right?
So let me ask you a question. You've been around this game for a while, okay?
Yep.
So everyone says it, right? A lot of politicians who have like a little micro business at home keep saying, they always love to say, I'm a small business owner. I love small business. But small business continually gets crapped on by politicians. Is it just because they don't fear small business on election day? Is that where we're at, where they talk a good game but don't really help them out?
Well, yeah, I think they do. You know, they everyone loves small business, particularly on, you know, small business holidays, right? I mean, the week, the Small Business Saturday, and put out the proclamations, and, you know, yet they continue to turn to small business in order to, tax and regulate and, do everything that they do to this sector to, you know, achieve their policy goals. So, you know, luckily, Chris, we have enough champions in the Congress that push back on this stuff who are really, working hard with us to make the others see the errors of their ways, or, you know, to push back on some of these really far-reaching proposals. Look, we went through some very difficult times over our past 27 years of pushing back on some really bad stuff, but we've had some good years where we've been able to get some good pro-business tax and regulatory things through the Congress as well that have really helped this sector. But it is an eternal fight. Let's just put it that way.
Always.
And a lot of times, a lot of these members, even, you know, some good solid Republican ones, sometimes just sort of forget. They get insulated, or they don't sort of think through the unintended consequences of some of these things that they're considering up on the Hill until we point them out and say, listen, every single sector of this economy, whether it's big pharma, big energy, big this, big that, is still dominated by small businesses. And, right now we're really pushing back on an effort that will, end generational wealth and the building of generational wealth and the passing on of the business to the next generation through this silly thing called the Sensible Taxation and Equity Promotion Act, the Step Back, which would really retroactively tax capital gains on income and property that are passed on to an heir when the current owner dies. And so this would supercharge the death tax, and really it targets middle class wealth and generation building wealth. And, again, just one of those things that we just really need to, we're call to arms, you know, in getting our small business members engaged on.
Tell me about the EP part of it, the equity promotion part of this act. What are they doing on that side?
Well, you know what? The supporters of this bill, they said their proposal will tackle one of the biggest loopholes in the U.S. tax code, which subsidizes America's quote-unquote wealthiest heirs, right? So under current law, assets held at death aren't subject to capital gains tax. So this is known as step-up basis.
Right.
And what they're saying is that, well, gee, wealthy people use step-up basis in order to build wealth, you know, in order to hold on to their wealth. I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with that, number one. But again, applying this capital gains, they think it's equitable. They think, you know, they get to pick and choose and sort of redistribute wealth, right? This would be a redistribution of wealth or a killing of wealth, you know, outright, and make everybody start from zero again. But it's there's nothing equitable about it, in that it will kill a lot of family-owned business, a lot of farms, you know, who are cash poor and asset rich, and will need to sell off, you know, the business, the farms, the family home, in order to pay this capital gains tax.
When you look at the building of a business or a farm, right, and you look at the money that they want to, we've had this discussion over and over again because the estate tax comes up every so many years. It's cyclical. How many times has the same dollar got taxed already by the time they want to get you on death?
Multiple times. I mean, look at it's just continual taxation. You're right. And if you look at a business, say 30, 40 years ago, that, or an entrepreneur that took, you know, 5,000, 1,000, 15, 25,000 of their savings, put it into a business. And it's easy to see, we have a lot of these members 30 or 40 years later, that business is worth $2, $3, $4, $5 million, right? Look at all the taxes they've paid over the years in terms of income taxes, payroll taxes, I mean, property taxes, goes on and on and on. Well, this type of business, if it wanted to go to the next generation, would be not only taxed, the value of the business over the course of those years, so that maybe that $4 or $5 million gain, but also under the Biden administration, they want to tax wealthy people. They want to treat capital gains as ordinary income, so that 20% capital gains tax turns into a 39.6% tax. So you're right. Multiple taxation over the course of the business, and then sort of the ultimate tax that would disallow that business being passed on to the next generation.
And we've learned that doing these kind of taxes in the end punish these kind of individuals, but don't really generate that much extra tax in the total picture anyway.
Right? Well, you're right.
An economy that's booming can create that kind of wealth to make things like that happen. So that's this is just punishment. This is not revenue management.
No, I agree. And it is sort of this big, if you look at the sponsors of the bill in the Senate, Sanders, Warren, White House, Chris Holland, you know, from Maryland. I mean, this really is a, you know, sort of this new effort, or this effort that's been ongoing at just, you know, going after wealth and wealth creation, and basically being able to sort of micromanage, you know, the economy, or how money is sort of made and distributed throughout the economy. So, and you're right, we've seen with what it costs the government in terms of on the death tax when that business is passed on, in terms of the administrative costs of the government, what it costs them versus what comes in. There's been studies that show this is actually a tax loser to the government. So, but again, we think capital gains taxes are probably one of the most destructive taxes that there are in this country, in that it does hurt investment and entrepreneurship. And so taking this, you know, to the death tax, or supercharging the death tax through the application of the capital gains tax, will just be just really dangerous for the economy, and obviously for, you know, for all these businesses, you know, that, again, part of the American dream, starting a business, passing it on to the next generation, a lot of that will be wiped out through this step back.
We're talking to Karen Kerrigan, CEO of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Let me ask you this question. I was listening to a wonk from the White House say that this inflation thing's just transitory and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We're going to get through this soon, and this is just part of what's going on. What is Karen's nerds at the SBEC tell her?
Well, we say inflation is never a good thing, right? You know, I am sorry, if you talk to any consumer, any small business owner, I think it just really shows you how out of step that message point is. A head scratcher, you know, because, you know, for anyone that's paying those prices, obviously for small businesses right now that are still digging out of the economic mess from last year, you know, if they survive, the recovery still is very difficult in terms of the labor shortages, you know, supply chain disruptions. And of course, now you have these higher prices, right? This is not good. And fueling inflation through these big spending packages, whether it's $4 trillion or $6 trillion, is just a recipe for disaster. And obviously, you know, the monetary policy has been sort of going on for a long time, this loose monetary policy. So,
sure.
You know, so yeah, I think for many small businesses, this is one of those red flags. It makes them more uncertain. It makes them less willing to invest, and you know, just sort of keeps them in that sort of fight or flight mode, you know, as opposed to having an optimistic outlook, you know, for the future. And I think that hurts investment in general across the board.
So we're spoiled on this show. Congressman Schweikert calls in every Thursday, and he's on Ways and Means. And of course, he's a huge policy information wonk, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. He is. I've testified before Congress where he's been on asking the questions from the dais, and he does ask some great ones. On Financial Services Committee, he was a hero for us in capital formation and everything. So he's a great, great member.
So what happens is, when we hear this crap coming out of the White House or the media, David comes on and goes, look, I'm getting... And you're in Ways and Means. You're getting pretty good data, right? And he's just like, yeah, that doesn't jive with reality.
Well, you know, like I said, I think most people hearing that, whether they're independents, Democrats, or Republicans, maybe there's a few wackos that think, oh yeah, this is a good thing. This is transitory, but it's never a good thing. It's always a huge red flag. That should be a concern, you know, for folks within the White House, certainly for many up on Capitol Hill, I know, on both sides of the aisle. So to say that really shows that you're either out of touch or just trying to spin. There's obviously a lot of spinning going on, you know, from the White House, but it's not good.
My favorite thing on inflation this week was the very smart manager, the John Tudor Jones guy, was on CNBC. And he said he's watching the Fed's monetary policy meeting this week, and he said, this is the best line ever, Karen. He says, if they say everything's cool, he goes, I need you to go just inflation trade right now, gold, real estate, get out and run.
And Chris, my chief economist, Ray Keating, who's been with us for about 25 years now, he's a great resource, and he'll be posting something up on our website. He has some thoughts on all of this. We'll be posting that up either later today or tomorrow on, you know, sort of inflation, the Fed, and spending, and the Biden administration.
What's the website for that?
The website is sbecouncil.org, sbecouncil.org. And actually, business owners out there, or anyone that's interested, sign up for our e-news, our Small Business Insider e-news for free, and you'll get everything that we're working on in the nation's capital. It really is quite a range of issues right now: taxes, regulation, healthcare, you know, intellectual property issues, trade issues, you know, all over the place, because all of that, you know, impacts the health of the small business sector. And sbecouncil.org, and very easy to find us on social media.
Hey, I got one more last thing for you. I just want you to make you aware and get your thoughts a little bit. So, in Tucson, they're trying to get signatures, we'll find out in a couple of weeks, for a proposition to make minimum wage $15, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as part of it, you're going to love this one, it's going to create a wage investigation department in the city of Tucson, okay?
Oh, my word.
It gets better. It also, and this is going to be fraught with lawsuits, right? It authorizes the city of Tucson and their wage investigators, based on a complaint from a current employee, ex-employee, are you going to love this one, Karen? This will give you a shiver down your spine. Concerned individual. And they're allowed access to your payroll records and your financial data. That's what's cooking out here in the Southwest, Karen.
Well, talk about, that is a policy that's, or a proposal that's fraught with disaster, obviously, for small business on so many fronts.
Yep.
I mean, it is so misguided. There's privacy issues involved. You're right. I mean, yeah, definitely I could see if something like that moves forward. I mean, the lawsuits are going to fly because of, just talk about something burdensome and just businesses saying, I'm closing up shop. That's good. I mean, any competitor or someone that went into your store that just, you know, didn't like how they were served, you know, if they could go, you know, didn't like the service, you know, could wage a complaint. And just, again, this, you know, be supercharging bureaucrats to go after your business in this way. Talk about a disincentive gone wild, right? For someone not to open a business. So I'll be watching that, Chris. Keep me updated. We don't want that thing to go. You know what? The craziest plans go national, like AB5 in California.
I know.
Right? You have the PRO Act, which the Biden administration is trying to push through, that would make it very difficult for people to be entrepreneurs, independent contractors. You know what? Never surprises me to see a crazy idea like this being introduced in the Congress. So we'll be watching that.
If this thing goes to the ballot, I might be calling you guys for a little help.
We will. No, definitely give us a buzz. We'd love to chat about it and see what we could do to weigh in and just, again, the unintended consequences,
Karen,
you know, of doing something like this.
I love our conversation together. This show has been, we advocate for taxpayers and small business owners for 12 years on this show. So you guys are a perfect complement for us. So I appreciate the conversation and what you guys do.
Oh, thanks for giving me a voice. I really appreciate it. And check us out, sbecouncil.org. I look forward to coming back, Chris.
Yeah, okay? tell Scott let's do this on at least a monthly basis, okay?
Will do.
Awesome. Good talking to you, Karen.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. That's Karen Kerrigan, President and CEO of the Small Business Entrepreneurship Council. I knew she was going to get a shiver down her spine when I told her the proposition authorizes the city to go check out your payroll data. All right, Ray.
I'm told it's going to work.
Dear Lord, watch over Ray as he goes through a stressful time here of pressing the damn button. Here we go. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Ray, we think we got it, right? This is a software thing, right?
Yeah. So I put some gum and some paper clips in, and
that's a hardware problem, not a software problem.
Yeah, it was a software problem. It's all working.
Look, you
now,
can be upfront with the Wakeys about this technical thing. It's been a part of the history of the show for years.
It has, and you know what? For every single organization that's out there that relies on it, sometimes it fails.
So let's go back into the Wake Up Tucson archives one more time.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right.
I'll get the sound effect, but
I know
soon enough.
You had enough software problems today. Now, so when we first started the show, right, Thumbs Alexander would be screwing crap up behind the it's multitasking. There's a lot to the job.
Yes, there is.
You know, we make fun of you guys, but sometimes, you know, monkeys and things like that. But you guys do a great job. But there's a lot of multitasking going on. And so what happened was I started just, you know, I'm a break the wall guy. Let's just say what's honestly going on with what's going on in the world. If we're going to criticize the city of Tucson because they're screwing up, we can talk about ourselves screwing up.
Sure, okay? Why not?
All right. I mean, it's not like we have something, you know, we're doing something so grand here, right? We have to protect, has to be this wall. So anyway, I say it on the air, right? And I said, hey, man, I said, Thumbs is killing it over there, right? And and it was funny, Doug used to respond to us because we used to say the East German radio equipment, the old stuff, right? And so Ed sends a email to me and Joe, right? First of all, wrong response. This is where Ed learned a lot about me and Joe, right? Well, especially me, right? And guys, because he's the pro. You don't talk about that crap on the air. And he's like, guys, you don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not cool. That's not professional.
And that's usually how it happens. But here, you know, it's a little different.
I said that. And I said, right? And I said, you know something? I said, if I talk about breaking the wall, right? If I was going to say radio that I'd liked in the past, right? So I'll go back to Jack Benny's show. Jack Benny broke the wall a zillion times, right? In the 40s and the 50s, right? Howard Stern has destroyed the wall. And he tells you too much about his staff, right? And so what was happening is I said, Ed, this is just the way it is. And it's become part of the show. There are people over the years who say, you know, I don't know why I say this, but one of my favorite parts of this show is when you guys talk about Thumbs Alexander pressing the wrong buttons.
Well, and the other thing that you could do, usually what other stations might do is just hop to an old show until the problem's fixed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, this is...
But I'm just going to make you talk for 45
that's
minutes.
Perfect. Like I said, if you made me talk too long, I'd walk right off the air and go to Medindetto for Chili Colorado with two eggs on top.
And that's and I would not blame you.
Yep.
I'd play yesterday's show.
Absolutely.
The world would go on.
All right, let's get to holidays at least today. It's Fresh Veggies Days. Ugh. A lot of you just turned away from your radio. Fresh Veggies Day.
Yeah.
National Fudge Day. That'll bring you back. National Vinegar Day. It's like Windex from Greek Wedding. It does a lot of things. No Orange Clothes Day. And then World Sea Turtle Day. So can't beat that. Barney Brenner is going to hop in with me for the next couple hours. Thanks to Karen Kerrigan for a great interview from SBEC. And thanks to Ray and our software for an interesting hour. Wake up.